Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show, the Awaken to Happiness Now Global Series. Thank you so much for being here. And today I'm so excited because Lori Rayon is back with us with Master Cat Puda. And we're going to be talking about something brand new, conscious creation and mastery. So I'm excited about that. We're going to be taking your live caller questions and, you know, so much more. There's always so much that we do. We never know exactly what's going to happen because it's always in the flow, right? We're always in the flow. And so conscious creation mastery is one of my favorite topics. So I'm so glad we get to talk about that today. And for those of you who may not know Lori, she was on our show for the first time in the spring. I think it was March. And we had such a wonderful show, wonderful conversation, wonderful, I think, messages too and processes. So so much fun. So Lori is an internationally known interspecies communicator and a soul healer. And her gift allowed her to speak to the animals and the angels and translate their messages to humanity. She specializes in communication with the great whales and dolphins and recognizes the cetaceans as the ancient beings and master healers on this planet. She's also the director of the Omnidimensional Mystery School in Southern California. And she is a collaborating author of the best-selling book, Dolphins and Whales Forever. She's also a filmmaker, and in June of 2015, she released a transformational film, Ascension Guidance. Lori facilitates spiritual cetacean retreats where you can interact with wild and free dolphins and whales all over the world. And during the retreats, you will hear their messages and learn to communicate with them too. And so Lori has retreats in Hawaii, Bimini, Muria, Mexico, and Southern California, and more. And I'm sure there's always more new retreats coming up all the time. She's the creator of the Whale and Dolphin Energy Light Medicine School, and she channels cetacean consciousness and their healing powers, offering whale healing and clearing sessions, light body activations, and dolphin DNA recalibration sessions for individuals and groups. She also does, Lori also does Akashic Record readings, and because I was on the website, and I was looking at all the different types of services that you provide, Lori, and it's like, I could really do with a Akashic Record reading because I've been looking into it. It's like, I would like to get one soon. So, Lori, welcome to the show. And Master Cat Puda, welcome.
Thank you. We're delighted to be here.
Yay. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you have the time because I know that you've just been so busy right now with in Mount Shasta doing your own retreat as well as attending the Cryon retreat. As you know, maybe you were working there too, and you know, with Cryon.
Yeah. We did our whale and dolphin healing sessions. We had a little booth and we helped a lot of people. We did, I think, about 30 people in 4 days. So
wow, awesome. Awesome. And so you've been busy, 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 right? And so I was just saying before we got started that yesterday I had to cancel our show with Dr. Monique because I was just so ill. I just like, I cannot do the call from the bathroom floor. I just cannot, you know, it's like, that just will not work for me. And so I know that, you know, right now we're in a really intense time in energetically, and so a lot of us are clearing out a lot of stuff, processing a lot of stuff, integrating a lot of stuff, and so our bodies sometimes take they need to take the time to integrate, right? They need to take the time to rest. They need to take the time to catch up to where we are energetically, right?
Right. Absolutely. So many energies coming, and I think particularly, you know, the solar codes have really been opened up since the solstice. Mm-hmm. And I know people are experiencing more accelerated change and shift.
And so we're kind of also in the unknown right now.
Yes. Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brand new place, brand new day. We don't even know. People always ask me about ascension, you know, because it's one of my topics that I work with. But, you know, well, when will it be? How will it happen?
And it is. It's already happening.
Master Cat Puda says, well, the actual, you know, ascension, when the planet ascends and becomes a star, even God doesn't know because it depends on the collective consciousness of humanity. Mm-hmm. And when that 52% mark or whatever is made, you know, and the councils, you know, it's going to happen in its own time. So the best we can do is live a happy and joyful life.
Absolutely. Right. I totally agree. Yeah. Keep creating, right? Keep,
enjoy the journey. The destination is a given.
Yeah. And sometimes enjoying the journey is, you know, we talk about enjoy the journey, but there are some moments when it's like, I'm not sure if this is part of the journey that I like or I created or I wanted. You know, what's going on here?
Right. right? Yeah, sometimes we do ponder the conscious part of the creation that we're experiencing. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So, go ahead.
Many we have experienced a lot of unconscious creation, and we're cleaning up that mess now, so to speak, you know, the karmic implications, making peace with those that would have been considered predators or enemies, and, you know, finding out we're all brothers and sisters. And I think one of the greatest discoveries in conscious creation is you end up finding out that the people that you might have hated the most or had the most resentment towards are your best friends back home, and they agreed to play those dark parts for you to grow.
Oh, yeah. I was told that once a long time ago, and I was not quite ready to hear that, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I hear you. And there may be people not ready to hear that. That's okay. Yeah. But that's the reality. I've regressed a lot of people. Maybe you have too over the years. And some of them will not remember that until they go all the way back to being light. And yeah. When they can remember the light approaching them and them saying, hey, I want to go to Earth and I want you to come along and rape me. Will you do that? You know, and that other person's going, wait a minute. Whoa, no, I just came by to say hi, you know. And they're like, no, I want to have the experience of cancer. I want to have the experience of being raped, or I want to be robbed. And they go to their best friends and ask them to play the double duty, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we can get over the holographic implications of what it might appear to be and go into the heart to find out the truth, then we can change it, you know. And I highly recommend we don't do the heavy lessons anymore. You know, I think by now we have experienced multiple opportunities to write both what would be perceived to be good and bad scripts. Mm-hmm. Play them all out. We've been everything from the kings and queens to the janitors, right?
Yes,
everything.
Yeah,
we've done it all. You have the opportunity. Now is the opportunity to work for the earth, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's really about Gaia now. And we have to align with that vibration of, you know, healing or helping our mother heal, because, you know, the theater, which is the planet itself, has a lot of recovery to occur, you know. And I think we can do that together, don't you? I think that we can heal ourselves when we do align back with Gaia.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, what is your intention? Like, what is our intent? Is your intention to heal, or is your intention to stay in the story and not?
I love that. Stay in story. There you go. I'm going to use that. I like that. Good.
Because, yeah, you know, let's face it. A lot of time we stay in the story for whatever reason and we just can't get out. And that was the reason why, for myself, why do I hear an echo? Why for myself, I couldn't hear at that time. You know, when somebody says, oh, well, you know, that person chose to help you to do this, you know, you asked them to do this, you know, blah, 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 right? I wasn't ready to hear that because I was still in the story, right?
I can raise my hand. I wasn't ready for that in the beginning either. I think when people first wake up, and this is when they really, really need help, is because they're just plain mad.
Yeah.
They're angry because they find out that society, you know, our governments, medical systems, schools have all lied to us. And I don't even want to say maybe it's on purpose, because lies have been passed down for generations to where people really do believe them to be true. Mm-hmm. They're not. And, you know, when you want to go deeper and you want to find out the real truth of what's going on, then you're going to probably be angry for a while, because the truth has to come forward to not only replace the old that's been lied to, it has to be foundationalized. It has to ground. Mm-hmm. And that has to happen in each person's life one by one before we can really do it as a collective.
Yeah,
and that means you have to change everything in your life that isn't working. And most people really don't have the skills to do that. So they're on new ground when they say, I want to, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but maybe they want to end a relationship, or maybe a job, or, you know, they want to have a new relationship with their mm-hmm. with their boss or something, you know. So it's that, you know, we have to find a new way. So.
And part of that also has to do with, you know, compassion, having compassion for yourself, having compassion for the people around you, because a lot of people, they don't know how they're shifting. They don't realize what's going on. You know, they're like, I'm like, I don't know what's happening here. Right. A lot of people are like that. The people that are around us may not recognize what's happening. Because we're in the, you know, we're doing the work, right. We're in this energy all the time. We're looking at our stuff and we're doing the healing. We can see it, but even as we're healing, we're affecting all those people around us, our family members, our friends who we are in close contact with, right?
Yeah. I love what you're referencing and the work that HeartMath is doing, because it's validating the work that the animals have taught me, which is, you know, you're only as powerful as you are joyful. So when the heart is joyful, or it's at least just in the happy zone, mm-hmm. the coherence that radiates out from you does change the world. It's very hard to be unhappy in the presence of someone who's joyful, yes?
Yes.
I mean, if you really want to be unhappy, you almost have to leave the room.
Yes.
Because their coherence is rippling out and it's tickling you. And it's like, come over here, be happy with me, you know. And so the more of us that are happy, the more we do seriously change the world, the community, and, you know, help the people that are going through aggravation or despair and that have the courage then to find. I think really the key now is self-love, don't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, when people have self-love, they have the key to turn the lock in any door. And if you don't have self-love, but yet you're still playing the game, you're playing unconditional love, which is actually easier, I think, than self-love. There's a big gap there, and you're gonna crash. You're gonna have to come back and look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And that's what my partners taught me. And for those that have other people in the world that have cats as friends or cats as companions or family members, cats are the best teachers in my, this is my personal opinion, of mm-hmm. self-love, because they teach freedom. Oh, she just touched my arm. Because they won't do it like anybody else. Cats won't stand in line. They don't take orders, you know.
Right.
The most common question I get as I travel with Master Cat Poodle is, how did you train her to do all of this? And for example, we just came from working up at Cryon, where she chooses to lay on the physical body of the person on the massage table.
Mm-hmm.
And she's never said no. Oh, she has the opportunity to say no, but she's never said no. And the whole thing, when I look at what we've designed to do in our traveling mode of healing, people say, well, how'd you think of this? And I'm like, I didn't think of it. I fought it. This was her idea.
Mm-hmm.
She said, we can do these 30-minute sessions. We're going to help people. And I'm like, I don't think so. I need longer. And she's like, no, you don't. Actually, it's not about you. It's about them. Why don't you let me do this? Just, bring, you know, set up the table, make it happen. And it's an experiment, right? Well, she was so right. She was so right. And now I think this is our fourth year of doing traveling with, you know, I call it the traveling healing dolphin and whale show, because people come that haven't experienced whales or dolphins, and he lays on them physically. And then of course we have these incredible healing crystals. So they get a triple whammy and they get an accelerated healing and an introduction to something that maybe they didn't know about, you know?
Absolutely.
And you have to literally pull her off every person at the end of the time.
Mm.
She just never wants to get off. She's all about, here's our girl.
Oh, that's so sweet. And so does she do, I'm sure she does with you, the remote healing as well, right?
Yes. She goes and lays on the bed, even if there's nobody there in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I always photograph that so people can see she's still, it's all right. About the energy.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And you know, we don't have to be there physically in person. Somebody's asking, Jayshree's asking if you could just elaborate on Cryon a little bit, you know, your work with Cryon or being at the retreat with Cryon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for those that don't know, it's KRYON.com. Cryon is about to celebrate their 30th year in doing metaphysical prophecy and channeling all over the world, which has led to a big team of people, including myself, that are healers. This being that we call Master Cat Puda is an aspect of the soul of Seth. And I didn't know that for many years. I just knew I had a magic cat. I didn't know where the cat was coming from. But
right.
So when her birth was prophesized when she was, I'm going to say Puda 1, and this is Puda 3, by Amelia Kincaid first. Mm-hmm. And Amelia Kincaid's a pretty famous animal communicator and author. And she had said that the cat Pudi that had saved my life would be reborn in the Garden of Eden on March 3rd. And that was 2002, because Pudi had passed right before 9/11 and gone over to help all the souls coming over after the explosions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so part of me didn't believe it, but part of me was very excited. So, well, sure enough, Puda 1 in her first female body was born on that day, March 3rd. And that turned out we know now to be her popular birthday date. She's been born twice since then on that same date, March 3rd, which is a 3-3. It's a whale code, and it means compassion. So it's very cool. Yeah. But so when she was 6-7 months old, she started chanting. And that's how she would get me to do things, because it would break me down, because we're telepathic. It says, take me to Cryon, take me to Cryon, take me to Cryon, take me to Cryon. On and on and on. And I finally said to her, I don't think that people take their cats to Cryon. And, you know, there's an issue of traveling there and taking you there and paying for it and all of that. We were living in Mexico at the time. And she started chanting, I'm not a cat, 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 I'm not a cat. And my friend was there, Geraldine, and she said, look, if she wants to go, let's take her. I want to go with you because something great's going to happen. You know, I mean, you really must have a destiny thing to be there. And I'd always wanted to go to Cryon, so we made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat in the back of the room, and in the afternoon, a lady came up to the microphone and she asked about who the animals really are, you know, what's really going on. And some of you know Jan Tober. At that point in time, she was married to Lee Carroll, who channels Crown. And she's pointed to me. She said, there's a lady in the back with a cat. Stand up. She said, let's bring the cat up to the stage and ask the cat to answer this question. So then I knew, right? Then I knew why I was there. And so that's what happened. And this is probably 1,500 people. It was a big group of people. And I was, of course, terrified. Sweat was pouring down my hands. But, you know, I think she did a good job. And afterwards, they kind of got me out in the hall. It was Barbara Harris who publishes, or at least at that time published, the Cryon website and newsletter, Jan. And they came out and said, you know, so you're part of our family and you don't know that, but we're really happy you're here and that you had the courage to come. Mm-hmm. And there's more going on here that meets the eye. First of all, you probably think you're crazy because you're channeling a cat. It's just not that common, you know. I said, yeah, I did kind of think I was going nuts. I had a near-death experience, and I've been like this ever since, you know, where I could hear the voice of the cat. They said, well, the being that you're calling Pluto to us is an ascended being and has come back to really speak through the body of a cat. And other people will hear the wisdom that they would never get from a human through you, through the cat. They would never, they'll never come around. And so we need more people, you know, we need this. And she's right on point. So, but you need help, I can tell. So we want you to get professional pictures taken, and we want you to send us everything the cat's writing. Write it down, send it to us, and we'll start publishing it for you. They already knew that we were like of the on, so to speak. My name was Rion. I didn't know it then. Cryon, you know, we're all kind of in the star family together. So I have to thank them, you know, for that. And then over the years, bringing Puda to the many different Cryon events, including a couple of my other cats, they started to recognize what was really going on, that I was growing. In those years, I was learning to talk to dolphins, too. I was living on the beaches in Mexico with Puda, and she was talking every day to these three dolphins that came to our house. You know, over about 3 years, I learned really a lot of dolphin language, and I learned to get into that group consciousness, which is letting the their holographic images come into my holographic images so I could see. They actually speak more virtually than they speak physically. Puda speaks more physically, like you and I are speaking. However, she does send me pictures sometimes. But mostly when she can't reach me, she'll try to break through with a picture. But the dolphins, they won't say, you know, there were children playing in the park. They will say there was 11 children playing in the park, one with a red blouse, one with a yellow blouse. It was 72 degrees and they were playing with a rainbow colored ball. The grass was green, the flowers were blue. They will say everything about the image of what they're looking at when they communicate. Right.
Wow.
Which is completely, it's very evolved communication. So as time went on, in recent years, Monica Mariani, who is partnered now with Lee Carroll, has published some of our whale and dolphin channels in the new Cryon books, which has brought me a lot of more international awareness to the work we're doing. And so 3 years ago, we went to a summer light conference with them. And this is Puda saying, can we please set up our table and do healings? And the first response was, you can come, but no, you can't do that. And so I just went, well, I can come, but I can't do what I really want to do. Then why would I come? And so then I talked to another person that's part of the team. I talked to Lee, and Lee said, just do it. Just bring the table and do it. Nobody's going to care. So I did. And they looked at me like, what are you doing? And I said, this is what I do. So, and it went so well, and it's gone well multiple years since then. So in fact, we're going to go to Cancun with them in December to the 30th anniversary.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
Really fun.
So if you want to find out more about Cryon, he has a huge website, lots of information, lots of videos. There's videos, you know, of Cryon all over YouTube as well. So lots of information, lots of channeling, you know.
It's all very loving, very positive.
Yeah.
And so far, it's all been very accurate. I mean, there's never been a prophecy that wasn't true. So it's really a joy to be on that team. And it's like my other family. You know.
Oh, nice. So that's cryon.com. Check it out. I've listened to many, 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 and I had been told about Cryon a few years ago by a friend of mine, and she just absolutely loves, probably still does, Cryon. And so that's how I first found out about Cryon. In other words, I didn't know either. You know, she told me, and then I went and listened and listened and listened, and it's like, wow, lots of information. Like, wow. You know, it's like mind blown kind of stuff, you know, some stuff that you wouldn't ever think of on your own, you know, the information that comes through, right?
A lot of information about the timelines that we're experiencing now. Star family, which is great, because that's been my expertise working with Seth. Is the star family is starting to, he's starting to speak about it. And about the grids, and about how we can connect to the passion grid, the crystalline grid. Those are some of the focuses that I find fascinating. So,
awesome. So thank you for asking about that, Jayshree. So I wanted to get back to conscious creation and mastery. So what is that and how do we do it? It's always a good question. What is that and how do we do it? What does it really mean to create consciously?
Right. Well, in order to create consciously, instead of be in the random flow of things, like the river flowing down the street and you not having a stance, you know, a way to navigate that river.
Yeah.
You must be in your heart. You have to come into the heart.
Yeah.
And that means you have to surrender the mind. And a lot of this that I'm speaking of now would come from, some of you may recognize it through the Flower of Life teachings with Dronvalo Melchizedek. I studied with him for 3.5 years, I think. And it was perfect because he put words to what the whales were trying to teach me. And there's the processes that we can teach you. You know, you can learn meditations and mudras and things that will help you go back into your heart. What I can tell you is the most important thing about that is this is where we were intended to create from. The heart is not polarized. It doesn't participate in duality. It doesn't have a right and a wrong or a yes and a no. Mm-hmm. It simply has what I call solution energy. Everything you'd ever want to know about anything will come to you if you'll get quiet and you'll go to your heart. Would you agree?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, the answers are there.
Yeah, and it's all within.
always there. But they're always loving. So if you're looking for a solution to something that you're angry about or that you're in dispute about and you still want to continue the battle or whatever that is, the heart will just simply turn off. It won't respond. Mm-hmm. This is my world. You'll get no answer because mm-hmm. the answer is never to do that. The answer is always to, you know, make peace. That's one of Buddha's main mantras, is make peace with where you are because you created it.
Right.
Even if you did it unconsciously. Right. What that leads you to know then that everything in the world at some level you participated in. So you might as well make peace with it. You're not going to change it until you make peace with it.
Mm-hmm.
Not really change it. When you can say, I own this, you know, I'm part of it. This is the reality that I not only came to Earth to be a part of, I have participated from a place of passion, from a place of creativity. And does everything work? No, of course not. Everything doesn't always work perfectly the first time. But that doesn't mean you have to go down with the ship. It means you just move on to something else. And, you know, if you've done some harm along the way, you certainly apologize for it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're coming to a vibration now where I don't think we're going to see a lot of harm being done because people are learning that what they really want to do is be happy. They want to swing their feet out of bed in the morning, get up and be happy. And they don't want to wake up with dread and bills and sadness and disease. They want to go, let's change this.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear so many people, and you do too, I know, that will say, but it's so hard. And I have to go back and look in the mirror, and I have to say that when it was hard for me, it was hard as long as I said it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I decided I can do this. I mean, even if there was just a twinkle of I can do this.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I can change this. You know, that's when it started to change. And I mean, really change, really quickly. So you are the creator is my point.
Oh, absolutely. And I totally get that. And, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, but where are you creating from? Are you creating from your heart? Are you creating from your mind? And I'm saying this to everybody because sometimes, you know, we're trying to figure stuff out, right? We're trying to, you know, do, you know, from our head. And really, it's about coming from your heart and functioning from there more and finding the solution, like you said, from the heart. But what if you can't even get to the heart? You know, so many people I know are thinkers. I mean, I'm a reformed thinker. I'm going to say thinker. I'm more in my heart now than I used to be. But, you know, it was like, so all my clients, they're in their head.
Well, a reformed thinker would be someone that when they make a thought, they have the wherewithal to make it positive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where someone else would be thinking along the lines of negativity or judgment. I think that's the hardest thing for humans is judgment.
Yes,
because we've been taught to have an opinion for starters, and almost everything we have an opinion about really is none of your business. It's somebody else's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what if we're all sacred souls having a sacred journey that's completely unique to each of us? And that if you're not invited into that person's journey, then what are you doing there? Because it's their journey, not yours. I mean, Master Buddha says, if you would focus your whole life on your journey, on your decisions. That will take up the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how important your life is. If you would put your attention to it, and instead of letting it wander over to see what the Joneses are doing, you know, it's not that we don't care about the Joneses, it's that what their choices are their choices.
Absolutely.
Where you even get to kill people if you want to. I mean, there are people that contract to come here and kill each other. That was hard for me to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have told me at one point, this is a number of years ago, she said she wouldn't be able to stay with me much longer if I couldn't work that out, because mm-hmm. that's part of being here. And if you can't love people who are killing each other because they chose to kill them, mm-hmm. the benefit of that is none of your business, but there is a benefit to them. Or they wouldn't have come here to do it.
Yeah.
You focus on you, okay? And you work on your choices, your journey. And it doesn't mean, again, we don't have compassion, because we can have compassion. Because once upon a time, you were one of those people that was killing somebody else
mm-hmm.
or hurting someone, even if it wasn't this life, we've all done it. So what did you learn? Well, probably that you don't want to do it again. That tearing the auric field of another human's body is not a pleasant thing to probably have karmically to deal with. But
yeah.
Bottom line is, if everyone will work on just 1 hour at a time or 2 hours at a time, and you just continue to chuck in, it would be a wondrous thing. Mm-hmm. And some people saying, maybe I don't know how to go into my heart. So I teach two techniques. I can just share them if you like.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. One of them is just to drop, just from your mind, bring all of your consciousness into your mind and just do an affirmation that's loving. Say something to the effect of, I am that I am, or I love myself. You know, I'm a unique divine being. And you gather your consciousness. And now you want to do something effective with that. So you just drop the energy like an elevator going down the prana tube, all the way down to the heart chamber, to the physical heart chamber. And for people that are challenged, I do a countdown. I'll go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You hear the little ding, the elevator opens, and you step out and you have into a warm, loving, rosy-colored room where love is the answer, always the answer. And there's a different energy that comes in now, because you understand that what might be a right decision for you, a wise decision, is completely different for someone else. There's no cookie cutters here. You know, there's free will choice. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
No different than if you take your friends to the buffet and somebody's going to eat oysters and you go, yuck, yuck, yuck. And they say, oh, it's my favorite food. You know, the choices that they make, and then you go and eat chocolate cake. And if you were with me, I would say, ooh, I don't like chocolate. I don't. So everybody's going to choose differently, but that's going to be their place of happiness, their joyful place. And we're not going to judge them if they like chocolate cake or oysters. We're just going to go to the buffet and have something we enjoy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And be happy that they have something that's completely different than what you like.
Yeah.
I think life is like that. I mean, the diversity of life is wonderful. So anyway, you're in your heart then. And that is an exercise that takes a few seconds to do. But if you could continue to do it, what you're going to find is that your heart will, the vibration of you moving your consciousness into your heart will allow the mind to surrender. It'll allow the mind to start to take direction from the heart. And you will create things that are not polarized. You will make decisions from the heart that are loving for you and potentially loving for other people too. But you won't be able to make any kind of decision that's based on negativity from the heart. Mm-hmm. If you do, you pop back out, then you need to go back in again. Because we're trained to be, you know, thinkers, to be smart, to pass the test, you know, to stockpile stuff, to not, you know, it's going to be difficult, survival, all of that's a lie. There's plenty for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It always has been. So the second way to get into the heart, which is, again, non-polarized, so it's a place of love and joy, is to take your consciousness from the back of your head and arc it out of the back of your head and come in between your shoulder blades. So it's mm-hmm. like, boom. Out like that. And I can do that in about 3 seconds, out of the back of my head into my heart. There we go. And I've had fun taking aura pictures over the years. And I'll tell you, when you do that and then you go have your aura picture taken, your heart's just glowing. So pretty. Your heart will have an aura all of its own. Just keep going back into the heart.
I find that's easier doing it from the back, because
The
front is like, there's just so much more emotion and more history and more drama in the front, I find. It's easier through the back.
So the goal is to become neutral. And Puta's mantra is, which I love, she says, what I think and what I feel, I bring into form. Let's try saying that. What I think and what I feel, I bring into form. I am a conscious creator. So then you can look around at all the things that are in form, and you can trace every little thing, whether it's a notebook, I'm looking at my office here, or, you know, a glass of water. I brought this glass of water in, the pen laying on my thing. It's all part of my conscious creation. It's all traces back to something. It's not random. It happened, you know, with some kind of purpose. And from that place, then the negativity can melt away, because it's not pleasant to have negative thoughts towards anyone or anything. It's not. So the part that we can teach you now, and all of us can do this together, is that you can choose again. You could absolutely choose again. And then the word forgiveness comes in, and then the emotions start to flow, which is good. Because when that emotional body opens up, you've tapped back into the creative force, which is the real force that we were always meant to create with the emotional body. We were supposed to be feelers, not thinkers, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And how many people have shut down the feeling states? In the stars where we live, and we're not here, it's all about the feeling state. That's how planets are created, in stars and people and families. No one would ever think of creating something that isn't joyful or that isn't really from the heart. So then if you want to play with that, just think of something now, just do a process. Think of something that you'd like to do, and you don't necessarily know how you would be able to do that, but you'd like to do it. Think of that and identify it. Okay, now think of something else that you'd like to do, and you don't know how you could do that either, but let's think of two things. And now from the heart, because we're in the heart, where does the light gravitate towards? Which one feels better? And this becomes guidance now for you, because you're in the heart and guidance can hear you. Well, they can always hear you, but I guess the way we want to say it is you can hear them mm-hmm. from the heart. And the guidance would say to you, which one feels better? How does it feel to, let's say, maybe one of the things was go to a place in nature, go to a park, go somewhere and spend the day. Maybe the other was go to the beach. Well, which one feels better? That's where you're going to go, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what you want, the best use of time, yeah. Your vibration. Now, they're both good for you. Which one is better? Which one is better? And I think if you use that in your decision-making process, even in things that aren't necessarily happy, like I can think of something where I was trying to choose a location to have a retreat mm-hmm. and I couldn't make up my mind. And my guides were just, I don't know. I didn't think they were being that helpful. They usually are really helpful, but what they wanted me to do was get out of the, well, how much this one costs and how many people would fit in there and how far away it is. And what does the parking look like, to get into, go sit in that room and feel what your retreat would feel like in this room. And now go sit in the other place, go to the other place. And as soon as I did that, I was able to identify immediately which one I wanted to use. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even about the numbers. It was about the feelings.
Feeling, absolutely.
Great. So wouldn't that be nice if we could remember to do that every day, to live that way, make choices from that place?
For, you know, not just the big things, but even the little things too.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. So sometimes people wait to use these kind of tools for big things, you know? What about everyday life?
Yeah, to be the master of your life really means every day, every little thing counts, right? Mm-hmm. It contributes to the greater good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to live outside of polarity. I wrote some stuff down from Seth I could share if you like.
Awesome.
About being the master of your life. Okay, she says, the underlying principles of claiming your mastery and becoming a master are always to create positive change and live in the vibration of joy. So the first thing we wrote down was find the real purpose of your life, why you came to Earth, and what will bring you true meaning, purpose, and freedom. So part of our teachings are to help people go back in time into their, you know, their time travel, so to speak, and to connect to the galactic family, to the star family. And often those beings have been trying to reach you for a long time because they are your real family. And they absolutely know when you chose to come to Earth, why you chose to come to Earth, and how you have a mission here that's, by the way, linked to them, and they want to help you do it. And they can't really do it without your permission. So once you link up with your star family, you get so much help. And the things that you really want to do are so much easier. I don't know about you, Laura, but I'm doing things now that I would have been afraid of before. I wouldn't have felt that I was capable of doing or that I had any talent towards. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, your gifts are behind your fears. Mm-hmm. But you've got to be willing to look at that stuff that you've said no to
Yeah.
Because you're afraid of it. You're also afraid to say you're afraid of it.
Yeah.
So. No.
I have to look at that.
So for me, I had to get challenged. I had to have someone like Grandma Chandra come in. And she said, what are you going to do your real mission? And I said, I am doing my real mission. She said, no, you're not. So I had to cure things like seasickness so I could go out. I had a horrible seasickness. I think I told you that. That was a big deal. It was a lot of fear. I think it was from lifetimes of drowning. Mm-hmm. But I cleared it. So thank God. So I can go on the boats and go swimming with dolphins and whales. You know,
exactly.
Now I'm addicted. So the second thing is discover what is in your heart and in your divine life blueprint that holds the key to what you're here to change and create. So again, maybe you're already doing something you really enjoy, or maybe you're doing two or three things you really enjoy, but you want to go deeper. You want to go wider. You want to find out more about it. So you really have to go into the heart, and you've really kind of, Kudo always says, you got to roll out the blueprint. And that's like looking into the Akashic records. Mm-hmm. And the angels can help you with that, or someone who's been trained. So that's one of the things we do. And then you can take a look at some of those deeper things. See, the thing is, and I have to reference Cryon again and myself, because we're both doing things that now that, again, we would have been afraid of. One of them was taking people out on boats for me. And I had early years too, even when I was a dancer, I had horrible fear of public speaking. And now, I mean, now you can't get me to be quiet, you know. Lee Carroll had the same thing. He said he was an engineer. He was afraid to speak in public. He mm-hmm. wanted to have a radio booth there, a piece of glass between him and anybody. He never visualized himself as a worldwide speaker or funny. So he tapped into his Akashic records and claimed in his own DNA a lifetime where he was a philosopher in Greece. And he pulled that out and he used it to go through his fears in this life, things wow. like that.
Wow.
So that's the teaching sea of the dolphins. Now the dolphins are teaching us that we can, through the power of epigenetics, we can change our dormant DNA. That those all the lifetimes you've had, you have to think about all the gifts you had and how it's stored in your DNA.
Yeah.
And how when it's calibrated through your intention and you're wanting it, it can come forward very quickly. I mean, we're talking really quickly. Mm-hmm. So
And is that something that you help people with in the Akashic Records, or through the other healing work that you do?
Well, the Akashic Records are very much connected to the dolphin and whale work, because the whales, when they come in to work with you, to heal you, they look at your Akashic Records. That they are the Akashic Record librarians of Earth. Mm-hmm. And then the dolphins, being toothed whales, they come in and work with the actual strand of DNA where that DNA is stored that's not activated yet. And it's very connected to the emotional body, because often people will have to have an experience where they cry or have a memory. It isn't real devastating, but they actually kind of touch that memory. And then the real forgiveness can come in that's kept that DNA dormant. And it surfaces like a flower blooming.
Right.
And so I'll tell you, I love working with those dolphins, because they bring the joy that's the vibrancy of change, right? Through the telomeres, right into the DNA. So I'm really studying that now with them. And I'm seeing people shift very quickly. And I'm also seeing people that, you know, maybe 5 years ago didn't really want to forgive. I mean, they just didn't. They weren't ready. They're holding on to that for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And now they're so tired of holding that. They're tired of holding the rocks in the backpack. They really want to forgive their mom or their dad or their husband or their brother or their sister. They really want to forgive. Maybe not have the best relationship or friendship in the world, but they don't want to be holding the negativity anymore.
Exactly.
They really want to be able to say, you know what, I'm sorry I yelled at you or whatever. And they mean it. And yeah. then whoosh, the slate. It's like someone cleaned the chalkboard, you know?
Yeah.
It just happened so quickly. Don't you see that happening now?
I've seen it with myself, you know. It's like, you know, when I finally got to the point where I was like, you know what, I don't want to hold this negativity anymore, so I'm just gonna let it go. And I'm gonna forgive this person for what they did. I don't have to have a relationship with them, but I'm gonna let it go. It's like I'm done exactly. with it. And then, yeah. you know, since then, I physically it was stuck in my shoulder, and my shoulder's now like almost 100% better, you know, because I've slowly
your body stores wrong. That pain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Blocks. Totally changed. Mm-hmm. Yay. And again, this comes to the emotions again. When you're ready to let go, boy, you can. And who better than the emissaries of joy? You know, the dolphins are just totally, completely happy all the time. So Beth says, actualize what you want to see changed in your life and the world. Be the parent or the teacher for yourself. Be, you know, a mover and a shaker in your community, bringing about that which will accelerate well-being, which is well-being is change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take some steps towards that. And I also think, people, you really have to say, I need help. You really have to, even if it's just to your guides. You really got to say that out loud. I need help. I mean, I could go in. I'm just thinking how I mean, I ask for help all day long. I go into the bathroom. I've got long hair. I've got a snarl, you know, and mm-hmm. it's snarling. And I just say, help. And the brush goes right through. You know, you're trying to put your necklace on. Help. The necklace goes on.
Right.
You know, from the teeniest thing to the largest mountain, they're there for you guys. And can't do it if you don't ask, right?
That's true. Yeah. And they're just waiting to help.
They're
right?
just waiting to help. Yeah, sitting on the couch going, can I help? And you're just ignoring them, you know. So one of the things I just did, and I recommend for you guys, is to take a class or to visualize what it would be like to live in a fifth dimensional community where you're working with like-minded people to create a sustainable community. We just came from Mount Shasta. It is a fifth dimensional community. They've already done it. Mm-hmm. You walk into that town, you're in 5D.
Yeah.
You don't hear an argument, you know, everybody's kind. I mean, everybody's kind. Okay, so it's 100% perfect because I did see some drunk people on the 4th of July. You know, at least they were celebrating. I don't want to judge them. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But I mean, it really is an incredible community living there. And for those that don't know, that particular part of the world is a Pleiadian node. And Mount Shasta itself, underneath the mountain, are the surviving or living Lemurians. From the time when Lemuria was a huge continent, that's some 26,000 years ago. So this is when 5D, we can choose to have pretty much an eternal body. If you decide to leave your body, it won't be through it. It gets old or tired. It'll be because you've just gotten done. You're right. Going to go on to somewhere else, get another body.
Yep.
So most of those people there are well over 26,000 years old. And the way that they describe, and the Telos books are good, channeled books to find out more about that, how they live, and they're all telepathic with the animals, and how it takes a village to raise a child, and how no one can have a child if they're not committed to a lifetime marriage, but other people have relationships that don't have children, they're just experimenting with love mm-hmm. and you know, being together, but they don't become pregnant. Only the ones become pregnant are the ones that are in a lifetime yeah. commitment to be in the child, things like that. I mean, we can learn a lot from remembering what it's like to live in a 5D community. And being there and being around people that are in 5D, it's an amazing experience. So, and then coming back to your community and saying, well, what if I just create a meetup group? Or what if I join a meetup group? Or what if I get involved, you know, in an organization? People, for example, the Omnidimensional Mystery School is formed by people that really want to know more about animal communication. They want to know more about the Merkaba. They want to know more about telepathic communication with angels and guides. That's what we do. And so we've developed a community of people that are studying these things and we're helping each other. And, you know, some people, I mean, we're scattered all over the place. We're not just in one place, but we have a like-minded community. And there's somebody always we can call. I mean, everybody that's involved in that. And some of you I know are listening are part of that. We always say, if you email or call, we'll find help.
Oh, you know, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, wherever you are in the world, because our community is that big now.
Yeah.
And there'll be help for you. Okay. Whatever it is. Okay. So awesome. Everyone should have that.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Put yourself outside. That's living in mastery, mm-hmm. outside of conflict. We just choose not to share our views on anything within the community that are polarized. Mm-hmm. That includes politics and things where there would be one way or the other, you know, where you'd be guided to make a choice that neither one is really very positive. There's no answer there. So we talk about things that are like a round table. Mm-hmm. Where there would be a solution, where there would be no one particular, maybe, or two people in charge. There would be a group of people. I love Master Buddha's philosophy on politics, which is it will never work until it's volunteer and it's a round table. You know, there'll be no one leader. There'll be committee people.
Yeah.
That no one will get paid. It will be simply taking care of your community. You shouldn't have to be paid for that. Mm-hmm. Everyone should show up and at least clean the park, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we all should take care of the roads and so forth. And each person would then have, you know, a job there. And I think we're moving more towards that. And now to create new ways that make the rainbow bridge to that, ways that are nourishing. That means like now planting and eating organic food, you know, learning about when they grow the food above ground, what's that called? I just came from a few. Learning new ways where we don't have to use as much soil and fields mm-hmm. to grow food, new ways to nourish us. To create healthy food that's not so poisoned, you know, get rid of the toxins. And so for each of us in a new way to work as part of a group or a council, like we said, to say, I am a master of the new generation. I'm a master of the new earth. I'm looking to be you know, a part of a group of people that want to do blank, and then making that happen, not just talking about it, making something really happen that's moving towards that. That's moving into your greatness. That's moving into your pure potentiality. So, and then I think from that place, you inspire others that might be complacent or maybe stay home and, you know, maybe watch too much TV or they don't get out and be active. So we're all about inspiring each other to see the change that we want in the world. Starts at home, starts with you. Instead of looking to see what Susie's doing, what are you doing today?
Yeah.
What are you doing to change the world?
Exactly.
And do it outside of judgment. Do it out of, you know, a little bit of, you know, okay, that's motivational to get off your rear and go forward. But don't do it out of, I have to. Do it out of, oh, I want to. You know, find something that inspires you to do it. So, to believe in yourself. So I think that's a good model.
I agree, totally. You know, and that's, you know, and that's kind of like what I've created here with this show, you know, is this is my way of making a difference in the world, creating a community that is supportive and caring and kind and working together to work on themselves, you know, to heal themselves and heal the planet. You know, because we can't do it all by ourselves, you know?
No, we can't.
No, those days of being the lone wolf are done. You know, like, it's like this is about collaboration, cooperation, working together, and how can we help each other, right?
Yes.
And help the planet as well as our animals too.
You just spin your wheels when you try to do it alone. I mean, everyone.
Yes. We've all done that. From time to time, we've all done that. Try to do it all by ourselves, right?
Huh. And it that leads to, I think, the next big piece is because when we get people to get in the heart and let go of the mind and stop trying to figure it out or analyze it or think their way through it, they can feel into it, then it's a natural course of events that the third eye, which is your pineal gland, will activate, or it will activate more than it is now. And you will find yourself being more telepathic, which is really the gift of what? Clairaudience, clairvoyance, clairsentience. These are the gifts that are within all of us. And they've been somewhat dormant maybe. But we can start using them effectively. And there's no better thing in the world for me than to talk to my guides and some of the angels that will pop in or will summon them. But my three master guides are my family, and then we have, you know, Master Puda and my other cat Sam and their guides and other people's guides that are in the soul family. But I mean, when I talk to them, these are spirit beings that have chosen to come to Earth. They've made a conscious effort to do that. They're here 24/7. They're not leaving. Mm-hmm. They're not like angels that can come and go. They're here. They're here right now. I mean, if you go in the room, there are four of you, not one of you, four of you. So why not talk to the other three? That all they want to do is help. I mean, really, all they want to do is help.
Yeah.
But you have to let them help. So opening up to new realms of communication, to hearing. Don't you think that helps us build relationships?
Absolutely. I
mean, where you never feel alone, and you wouldn't even think of trying to do it alone. Right away, it occurs to you, if you want to do blank, you need to go forward. So you start organizing that. Yeah.
I love that. And that's the thing, that it's true. It's like, I always talk about, you know, in my space, I have like, you know, I don't even know how many guides and beings of light that are here. Right.
Right.
When I'm doing a call or when I'm doing a show, you know, when I'm doing a healing call on a show, there's like, you know, a bajillion. But when I'm just, you know, sitting on the couch doing the back end stuff, you know, they're a bit more silent. Like, okay, she doesn't need us right now. She's doing her thing. But I don't, you know, when I'm doing my thing, the back end stuff, like, I don't ask for help then. You know, I don't consciously even remember that they're there. I just know that when I'm doing my show, when I'm doing a healing call, they're all there, right? They all come forward. But all those other times when I could be, you know, asking them for help and asking them to contribute and asking them to be a part of everything, right?
Right.
I know. It's like it's just part of who I am. It's like I don't ask. You know, it's like when I go to meditate, yes. When I, you know, when I go to sleep and I call on my guides, yes. When I'm doing my shows, yes. You know, but when I'm just doing other stuff, it doesn't, you know. Yeah, try to get out of the lone wolf programming. That's ingrained in me quite a bit, the lone wolf programming, for sure.
My suggestion is to think of them as physical family members, because you wouldn't ignore. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
You wouldn't ignore physical family members in the room.
Yeah.
And real practical stuff can happen. Here's something that happens to me on Tuesdays. almost always Tuesday, my master guide comes in and he sits here in the office and he says, give me your shopping list. And so throughout the week, I don't know about you, but I jot down things that I need to go shopping, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I used to say, why do we have to do this every week? And they said, well, don't you like the results? Well, the result is when I do go shopping, it's usually Thursday or Friday, they put everything on sale.
Ah.
But I have to ask. I have to give the list. You see, if I don't give the list, then the game doesn't begin.
Yeah.
So it's a two-way game.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you mentioned that before. I forgot about that. I love that.
I'm telling you, this is practical. And so then I get a hint about, you know, where to go, of course. And it's not always the same store. I mean, I don't always shop at the same store, but spread the money around, right? And you know, sometimes I go to two places. But the point is, that's one of my weekly practical things. And it always happens. It always does. So.
Yeah.
So I mean, why not? Why not let them help you do that?
Yeah.
They enjoy it so much. It gives them something to do too. So.
Exactly. Because here they're just twiddling their thumbs waiting for when it's time for to do a show or when it's time to do a healing call or when I'm going to meditate. They're just waiting for that time. You know?
Right. Right. So when you think of guidance, think of research, because everybody needs research done, right? Whether it's shopping for this or shopping for that, or maybe in your job you do research. I'm serious. They will open that up for you. I have the blessing, even if it might seem a little bit magical, but if I close my eyes and put an ass, she can use my hands and she will bring up the most incredibly important or informative websites that I mean. And she taught me PowerPoint. I would never have learned it. I just was stubborn, you know.
Wow.
She taught me.
So, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, who would think that, you know, an animal would know that? But when I let her use my hands, it was easy. And she's a fun teacher. She made it easy. Not like going to a class where you have to go and learn this because I don't know it. I'm kind of grumpy that way. So, so I've learned a lot from the animals about and the guides about living a more joyful life. You know, and you guys could too. You'd be surprised what you look at your dog or your cat, what they know and that they could share with you. I mean, she's not the only master being in an animal body. There are many.
Yeah.
And often your animal has lived multiple human lives. Not always, but sometimes. Dogs really love to be dogs, which are Syrian. Mm-hmm. Cats, you know, like to be learned, but often they will switch back and forth, or you'll have even a bird come to your window that's been human, and they'll tell you something about something that they couldn't have known, and it will be so enlightening, because you start to get a different view of the world about the experience that they have, and they don't have the amnesia. They don't forget.
Right.
So it makes it very exciting.
So dogs and cats, they don't forget. They remember all their past lives and so on and so forth.
And yours too. If they ask, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, often they're accessing your records so they can help you.
Right. Oh no, I hear my guides talking to
Puda all the time. I mean, they'll be out on the patio my guides will be sitting out there talking to Puda about how they can all help me. Nice. So when I tune into that. So we're a big deal, and they want to help. They want us to get on board, you know, and they know we need help. I mean, that's why they're here. Their job is a stewardship job. I mean, they're really playing that role. They've already done pretty much everything they want. Well, I don't know, maybe everything but I mean, most of the animals on the planet have had a lot of different experiences, and they want to help you raise your vibration. That's their goal. So.
Oh my God, I just got something. It's like, oh my God, I just got this big aha, and it's like, it's, you know, it's bringing me to tears. Just,
oh, that's very sweet.
I'm so grateful. It's like, you know, you ask and you receive, you know, but yes. I'm a little slow, so I didn't get it, you know, until now. It's like, you know, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. What the young woman just wrote is they share at a place that we're not yet capable of sharing at. Mm-hmm. This is why it moves us emotionally, is because we know we want to go there. We want to share like that without holding back, you know, really open-hearted.
Oh my God. Yeah. Dio is like, you know, a lifesaver. He truly, truly is a lifesaver. So, you know, brings so much joy to us. It's just amazing. Not just us, you know, it's like I walk down the street, everybody smiles when they see him. You know, they just think he's so, so cute. And it's like, he is. And he's such a good boy.
So aware.
He's such a good boy. He's a lifesaver. Yeah. He brought back the joy that was kind of, you know, elusive for a while in my life, you know, and I'm so grateful. Yeah. So grateful.
He's think so, huh? Yeah. You like him?
It's like she said yes.
Really glad he's on the show. Yeah. Yeah. One day when we're all telepathic, the animals will do a radio show. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. Right? That would be amazing.
We'll be able to listen to it because we'll be telepathic. Yeah. Yay.
Yay.
I like that. She would like to have a stand-up comedy show, Cosmic Comedy.
That's a great name, Cosmic Comedy.
But I would have to be the voice, and maybe that'll happen. I don't know, because she's constantly telling jokes. So, I mean, yeah, Earth is kind of funny.
It is. It is. And, you know, funny when we can look at, you know, our lives here, you know, without being so serious, right? Without taking everything so seriously, to, you know, without that heaviness, right? When you look at all the different synchronicities and things that happen, and it's like magic. It's like, you know, it can be quite magical. That's what I'm just like, I'm getting for myself. It's like, oh my God, you are so blessed. You know, you ask and you receive, you know, it's like, you're so helped. Like you wouldn't believe, you know, for me, for myself, I'm getting that. It's like, yes, thank you. I'm so grateful. But, you know, are you willing to get to that point where you're willing to ask for help? You know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Not just when you're like at the end of your rope, but you know, so yeah, we've gotten back to that part where we're, you know, getting to the habit and the practice of asking for little things and asking for them to be with you and supporting you. And
she's saying, try it in the morning. The first thing you do, what, you get up and you go to the restroom, you wash your hands. As you're washing your hands, say in the mirror, I need help today.
Yeah.
Say it out loud.
Yeah.
Bring it in right away.
Yeah. Beautiful.
You'll thrill your guides and your day will go so much differently.
So I was going to, is it possible to know? So Linda, just 1 second. I was just going to say, does anybody have any questions? So Linda's asking, is it possible to know what I should be working on now?
Hmm. Do you want to do questions? How much time do we have?
As much time as you want. I'm good. Okay. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling generous.
Yes, but she wanted to do something on belief systems that she thought would help people.
Awesome.
Okay, let's see. You want to do that first? I wrote it down.
Sure.
Okay. She thought, since we're talking about conscious creation, we could go back through a short version of Earth's history and kind of track into perhaps where you got a particular belief that's still holding you down, that's still alive, basically. It's still an entry. And then that might help people. So what she's got here is what she calls life cycles of Earth, perception or belief versus the truth. And it's a little channel that we did. I think it would be good. And then I'm happy to do some questions. Yeah. Would you like to do questions after that? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So awesome. Here we go. Is that all right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. So, Seth speaks with Lori Rion. Seth explains that the Earth has experienced 4 major life cycles that are relevant to our discussion today. On the planet, within the free will zone, there are people who are rigid and those that resist change and end up being faced with challenges due to their rigidity and oftentimes experience difficult karma. They have not yet discovered that they are the creators of their own fears and that they alone hold the keys to the solution energy. They believe that fear is external and that change is difficult. The other option that humanity experiences when they awaken to a heart-centered existence and tap into the truth of who they are is that becoming a being who is loving and chooses to share resources. So from this paradigm, the human experiences questions like, how did we get here? What are we doing here on Earth? And how can we create things that are sustainable for future generations? So there is purpose now in discussing Earth myths versus universal truths. Myth number one, therefore, okay. Myth number one, the universe is a machine. In order to survive in this universe, you must compete with others for materials and resources. The world is polarized and everyone is against each other. Life is difficult and you must work hard to exist. This machine is impersonal and unloving. That's the myth. Truth number one, the mechanics of our universe are celestial. Everything and everyone in our universe is a part of the oneness that connects us to our origins. Everything is connected and love is the vibration of creation. We exist in this dimension to experience polarity and free will choice. Experiencing polarity offers each being an opportunity to choose love as opposed to just be given it. In making this choice to be loving in thought, word, and deed, we unify the polarity within us and remember that we are inherently loving, benevolent beings. We are here to share everything, and there is no need to compete. The universe is benevolent, with an intelligent source behind all of creation, and all of your needs and wants are given with grace when you utilize the law of attraction effectively. Vibration is the key to conscious creation, and consciousness changes physics. That's number one. Number two, it's a myth. Genes control your biology. You are predestined to get sick and fail. There are predators and you are a victim. In this paradigm, everyone needs a rescue team as they are dissatisfied with their creations. People feel worthless and unable to fulfill their heart's desire. There is not enough energy to go around. It is necessary to have pharmaceutical drugs to assist us with our health symptoms and challenges. It is common to go to a doctor and expect a solution or healing. It is accepted to take drugs to soften the symptoms of your illnesses and imbalances. People do not know that they are the creator of their own lives. They do not know how to examine the root cause within themselves that causes their disease or emotional imbalance. They take drugs as opposed to taking responsibility for healing the actual causes for problems and health issues. So that's myth number two. Here is truth number two. Your genes are blueprints only. You can rewrite the genetic expression of your life through your own consciousness and change your DNA by the way you live your life. You control your genetics through your life choices. This includes food and environment and your emotional well-being. Only you determine the state of your genes. Science has labeled this phenomenal truth as epigenetics. Science is proving that your genes are a mirror for how you live your life. Science has now proven that there are 38,000 possible outcomes for each gene. So, myth number three. Evolution is random. The perception of evolution has two parts. Part one is referring to the belief that your cells randomly mutate and the way your body reproduces itself through cell division is random as opposed to organized. As an example, this myth implies that you can simply manifest cancer and have nothing to do with it. The manifestation of disease or imbalance is random, and you just have to take your chances. Part two is referring to that which is known as natural selection. The belief says that only the strong survive, as referred to as survival of the fittest. The truth to myth number three is your body is an organized and benevolent community of 30 trillion cells. They are self-organizing, self-healing, and are aware of themselves and their life force. They understand how to work together in harmony to create well-being and health. Each cell is an extension of consciousness and responds directly to the vibration of happiness and joy, harmony and peace. Evolution is not random, but organized at the subatomic level. The universe is designed to be completely sustainable and functional through the cycles that evolve in consciousness and creation. The universe and all life is designed to adapt and change, to grow and expand in an ever-changing environment. A solution to every challenge is naturally programmed into the life cycle of every being. Evolution is consciousness in motion. I love that. That's one of my favorite things. Evolution is consciousness in motion. And the last myth, myth number four, is there will always be a winner and a loser. Now, how many were taught that? I was. We are destined to fight for everything. The world is polarized, and there is a positive and a negative side to everything. Everyone cannot win and be successful because there is not enough to go around. The truth to myth number four, our evolution is based on how our species choose to cooperate. The power of our evolution is reflected in how we create our own communities and how we live together in harmony and in integrity. Our life force and well-being is directly connected to nature and to the planet herself. We can heal and balance ourselves in our relationships when we make a conscious choice, connect to nature and all that is truly provided for us. Nature and source energy are the same. We are not separate from them. What do you think?
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I love that. You know, and those four truths are so relevant for us nowadays that we need to, and it's, you know, all of that is like, if you get out of your head, you know it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, if you just get out of your head, you know it's the truth. Yeah, I love it.
One of the best things for me was, you know, when I started to work with the dolphins, and they would show me how quickly they could assist us in fixing something would be considered healing, or in us having, you know, the aha moment. I just went, wow, how do you do that? They said, well, we're 30 million years in the future, so we've had a little more experience than you have. Mm-hmm. We know how to work with that, which is not, you consider random, we consider, you know, celestial organization in the body. It's completely right. Different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, that brings up a great point. You know, your guides, you know, maybe 30 million years in the future, right? They've been through all sorts of stuff already. They've learned so much, but for some of us, we still feel like we're like babies, you know, in kindergarten.
Yeah, we just maybe stopped crawling recently and got up and learned to walk a little bit, right?
Yeah, exactly, I feel that way. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's difficult when we have the challenges and, you know, it's like, what do we do? And yes, we hear that we're conscious creators. Yes, we know about our vibration and love, the law of attraction. Yes, we know about that. But still, I'm still, you know, stuck in the negativity, or I'm still stuck in this situation or scenario that I can't quite find a way to get out of, you know? I think a lot of people, even, you know, even those of us who are on the healing path or, you know, on our, in our journey, sometimes we have those types of experiences.
Where I think so too, but you have to go back in the heart. You have to choose again, because the answer is there.
Yeah.
It is, even if it takes a while, okay? You just don't give up. You have to keep kind of going through that vibration of the bigger challenges, particularly that are healing now for us, because everything that is not created of love must come up and out. And so that's a lot of coming up and out. So sort of like you clean the carpet and there's still more sludge, you know? So, well, bring them back, clean it again, you know?
And so a lot of the stuff that may be coming up now is not just from this lifetime, it's from previous lifetimes too.
Exactly. Right, right. So they say the biggest jump in the universe is from 3D to 5D. It's the biggest one, but we're going to do it. And it's changing literally everything back to love. So,
yeah.
Good. But once we're trained in that, I mean, look at the children that are being born now that have more DNA activated and calibrated. You talk to a young child now, and I really do encourage each of you to do that. Even if you don't have your own children, ask a 5-year-old what they're here to do. They'll tell you. They know. Mm-hmm. They not use big words, but they know. Mm-hmm. And they know inherently, you know, like, the kids that I take out on the Dolphins Love Kids Boat program, they know not to say bad words. They know to ask for help for their homework. They know they're not alone. They know they're not to punch each other or bully each other. They're supposed to support each other. Mm-hmm. You know, they watch the dolphins living in the pod mind, and they know. So all we have to do is support that. And then they come home and maybe see mom and dad argue, or they see, you know, something that's going on in their school that isn't happy. And then they look and go, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah,
I remember that as a child. I remember saying to my teacher, you are such a disappointment. I wanted more. And I think they deserve more. We deserve more. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Rising up and set our standards higher to where love is the answer and that joy is the vibration. We're also discovering through epigenetics that happiness, joy, harmony, success, most importantly, a path of service is what creates the telomeres to continue to grow, and the enzyme telomerase, which is anti-aging. Mm-hmm. You want your telomeres to keep extending and dividing so that, you know, you don't age or that you're aging. And I'm seeing that. But if you have negativity in your life, or you've given up, or you don't see a way out, your telomeres don't, you know, they don't respond. And then all of a sudden people get gray hair, they start to age. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's bad. Maybe that is their given task.
Yeah.
But what if you want to stay longer? What if you want to be healthier? Then you really have to come back to saying epigenetics can change everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. It's just, it can change everything.
Yeah.
It's in the DNA. It's in the DNA. It's self-organizing. So don't be bound to those old things. I mean, to this day, if you go to a doctor, because I did, God forbid, but the doctor says, well, you know, your parents had heart disease and your aunt had lung cancer and all this stuff. And I'm like, and that has nothing to do with me.
Exactly.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
I can see you're still of the old school, so goodbye. You know, I mean, you can walk out. You don't have to listen to that.
No, and you know, my whole family's still into that, you know, but not me. My parents go to the doctor like every week or something, you know, and It's like, all right, like, have fun. And then they tell me to go. It's like, oh, no, I'm not going. I'm fine.
Well, and you know how doctors get paid is the more prescriptions they write, the more money they make. So
yeah,
they're, you know, highly evolved, what should we say, drug peddlers?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's true. It. all right, so we are going to take a few questions in just a second. I just want to go over the special offer package from Lori.
Okay.
So for those of you who are on the live page, you can just click on special offer. Those of you who are not, you can go to alara.at/show/Lori7. So, and hopefully I did it right, Lori. So in this package, there's package A and B, and package A is 6 products and 5 workshops, and then package B is everything in package A plus a 1-hour personal session with Lori and Master Cat Pluto, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lori's like, I'm not sure if that was exactly what I meant.
I was just looking for the list, but yeah, the packages for working with us one-on-one is you can choose from a life path soul session, which is the most popular sessions I do because we talk to your guides. It'd be very enlightening. You can ask anything. The second one we do is the Akashic Record consultation, which is based on the questions that you ask, and that you can read about that. I mean, how to do it is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And an animal communication session where you can talk to an animal that's living or one that's transitioned, or a whale and dolphin healing and clearing session. You choose from those four.
So what was the first one?
Life path soul session with guides, guide communication.
Yeah, I mean, I have it written down, so why am I asking? Yeah, the life path soul session, the Akashic Record session, the whale and dolphin energy healing and clearing session, or an animal communication session. Wow, it's hard to say session. And so that is, you know, that, I mean, if you go and look at Lori's page, you know, Lori's website and so on, you know, a personal session is 111, I think, or something like that. But in this case, you get all those 6 products plus the 5 workshops plus the one-on-one session for 157. So I would definitely, I'm definitely getting one of those sessions with Lori. I thought I was going to get the Akashic Record session, but I'm thinking, maybe I'll get the whale and dolphin energy healing clearing session.
There you
maybe,
go.
Maybe that would be good, because even that, I think, would include some of the other stuff, you know, some of the other stuff might come through.
Overlaps. The wisdom overlaps. Yeah.
So please do take a look at it. There are some new workshops in this package. Let me see. They are the Access Your Superpowers workshop, as well as the Escape Duality workshop. How to Channel a Being of Light. I know a lot of people love that, in the Animal Communication workshop. And remembering who you really are, connecting to your galactic lineage. We were talking about that earlier, or Lori was talking about that earlier, how that has made a huge difference, you know, in her life, is connecting to your galactic lineage, that family and that support system, right?
Yes. Yes. I think for many years I thought it was Sirian, because the dolphins and whales come from Sirius B. But I'm not. I'm from Orion, and I just spend a lot of time on the Sirian system. It's too much to explain in this show, but I mean, finding out more has helped so many people, I think. And plus, it's just time. It's time to remember. I mean, our bodies want to know, you know?
Yeah.
And your star family loves you. They want to connect with you.
Yeah.
I'd be very happy.
And so when you, you know, like do some of these workshops, like the animal communication, you know, for that one, do you need to have a pet in order to do the animal communication workshop?
No, you don't have to. But for people that don't have an animal that they want to talk to, Puda always volunteers herself, because she's, you know, knows all about you. She's full of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So, but most people that gravitate towards that have had a pet or know of a pet, you know, of an animal that they love.
Yeah. Awesome.
And so the processes can be used to contact them and talk to them.
Awesome.
Good. And open up the third eye.
And open up your third eye.
The same processes that work for animal communication work for spirit communication.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no difference really, is there?
It's just identifying that frequency. So, you know, yeah. I will have say, in coaching people, lots of people will break through with animals first. And other people will break through more with angels first, and then they'll come back to animals. I don't know why that is. I've stopped trying to figure that out, because I thought I had the map, you know. And the map doesn't work for everybody the same way. You have to be, you know, like have a backup plan, you know?
Well, I'm more of an angel person, you know, but now that I have a pet, Neo, you know, it's like, okay, maybe I would consider that. But before that, I didn't. It's like, I'm an angel person. I'm a galactic person. I'm, you know, because I didn't have a pet to...
Right. And I didn't. Anyway, the point is, it's sort of all the same FM radio station up there in the sky, you know?
Yeah.
You can't hear the angels and the animals until you reach that frequency, and they aren't coming down. You have to go up. I mean, they're not going to lower. They can't lower themselves anymore and still do their job, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have to activate our third eye. There's lots of ways to do that. Mostly self-love. Just get with the I love myself and find value in the fact that God didn't make any junk. God made only incredible stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're one of them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we're going to take some questions. So again, that those special offers are available at alara.at/show/Lori7. So there was Linda had a question. Is it possible to know what I should be working on now? That's so vague, Linda. You know, I don't like such vague questions.
Can she unmute herself so we can talk to her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, I can. Okay. When it was as far as career or anything like that is concerned.
So you're asking, are you wanting to make a change in your life or add something in? Or?
Yeah, I have a girlfriend and she has a healing center and I'd kind of like to work with her a little more. I don't know if that is the best route to take right now. I also have some difficulties with a person in my family. And wanting to help them too. And I just don't, you know what I should be doing.
Okay.
Working at.
So the person in your family, do they know that you love them?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Okay. That's all you could do, honey. Oh, you know, if you're telling them that you love them, that's the best thing you can do. What they do with it is their journey. And, you know, once again, Seth always cautions, you can't take that journey from them because sometimes what appears to be hard knocks is the best way for them to grow, and they've created that path for themselves from the higher self, of course. Right. So I'm not saying that's what's happening. I'm saying you have to be aware that's a possibility. But the most important thing when you're taking that rocky road as a soul, you know, you're down here in your physical body, is that somebody, at least one person, can show up and say, you know what, whatever you do, I love you. And if you ever want to talk, you know, if you want to, I'm here to listen. And if you want advice, I'll give you advice, but I'm not going to force it on you. I am going to tell you that I love you and that you're valuable, that you're cared for, and that I'll always be here. They need to hear that. Okay. Then do you understand you're doing all
my heart, I did that.
Okay.
It's my daughter, so.
Okay. Yeah. And that's such a great question because so many of us, we want to run out and fix everybody. Well, first of all, they're not broken. They're having a different journey than you are. And even if you don't agree with what they're doing, you don't have any idea what's really being on. We don't know from the earth plane what's really going on. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Okay. Then you have to trust that. So communicate heart to heart. As far as you, let me just close my eyes for a minute here. I'm getting that you have a really deep connection with angels.
Yeah.
Is that true? Do you feel you communicate pretty well with them?
I think I communicate better with dogs and cats and horses, really.
But I
do love the angels very, very much. And I talk to Archangel Raphael, Archangel Michael a lot.
And you do that through practice, right?
Yes.
And love.
Yes.
So what about starting up a class in this healing center? And even if it's just a group where you get together and you don't have to claim to be... I mean, it doesn't matter how well you do it, someone else is always going to do it better. So you know, it's not that. It's not like I am the angel teacher of the century. Just get together and say, let's communicate with our angels and our animals. And I can teach you a few things, processes, but the most important thing is let's get together and practice. And let's improve together. Okay? So I'm going to tell you a story. Back in the day when I didn't have any skills, really, I just was telepathic. I mean, I didn't have any real practical skills. We'd get together as a group because people were fascinated by the first Buddha. And she'd sit in the middle of a circle of like 10, 15 people that would come on Wednesday nights. And I had no idea. There was no title. My original company name was Lori Rion and Master Cat Puda Speak. And that's all it was. And we'd ask telepathic questions. So nobody that's in the physical room that's human knew what the question was, but Puda did. And nobody knew what the answers that coming back were. But we would have the person write down the question. folded up, but only speak telepathically to Puta. And then we would all receive telepathic answers, and we would write down what we were getting. You have no idea the wisdom that would flow. And no one ever spoke in English words. We just did it telepathically. The wisdom, it proved that we were all telepathic, and it proved that Puta was a very wise master. And we got incredible stuff. You might, a class like that would open you up more. You have to have faith, though. At least you do that like once a month, you know? I mean, you have to have faith in the process. And you go around the circle, and then the person says, okay, what the question was, ultimately. But only after we've received the answers, okay? Does that make sense? So yes. We would ultimately share what the question was so we could start to understand what the answers were. But you were, I was trusting when I said, well, what I really see is, you know, you driving to some building and you're meeting some new man and there's some kind of new thing being offered to you and it looks like it's more money than you're making now. And I would see an interview or something and I was trying to describe that, but I had no idea the person was looking for a job. So
that's cool.
Yeah. But telepathy works because we all have this ability to be, you know, tuned in, so to speak. And the more you use it in a way where you're innocent, you know, where you don't try to have a spin on it, or you don't try to judge yourself if you're right or wrong. And if for you guys that have been in my classes, I mean, it's think of the baby learning to walk. How do we count how many times the baby falls down when the baby is crawling?
No.
Do we say, oh, that baby fell down 10 times, probably he'll never walk? We don't say that.
No.
Okay, we just keep going, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's what it's about. You just keep going.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Awesome.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah.
All right. Good so luck. I know that Jayshree had a question from a while back. I'm not going to unmute you yet, Jayshree. Let me just see, because I know sometimes the connection's not that great. But she would like help. She would like to submit the court documents so that she can have a clear title to her own home now as a... to the first-time female homeowner of color in a previously whites-only area.
And so what is the question?
And what is the question, exactly?
Is it should I or shouldn't I, or is that it?
No, let me try unmuting you, hold on. We'll see what go ahead.
This works. I've worked with many, many, many healers, and I've reached quite a high a place in a court case to defend the rights of women and people of color who are being dispossessed of their homes in South Africa. So like apartheid was legalized racism, the sequestration is legalized dispossession. So I've had quite a few attempts in my life through the court case, etc. So I'm literally saying, help, I have all of the evidence. However, for some reason, something's blocking me, and I don't know what that is. So if Laurie can give me insight on what it is that's actually blocking me from submitting these court documents, because I have worked with that many different people and, you know, done personal work myself. But I'm not able to submit these documents.
And you say that you're not able to submit them. Does that mean physically? Or is it an emotional block?
There is an emotional block because of the extent of racial... there was a lot of attempts on my life. So I've absorbed fear and I feel it, you know, being triggered when I touch the court documents. For example, the light above me exploded when I was going to work on the document. And there were shards of glass all around me. The brakes on my car started failing on my way to court. And my inner guide said to me, go via the mechanic, otherwise you will not make it to court. You know, It is intended for you to die. And when I arrived at the mechanic, the brakes were completely, it had failed.
This
he just managed to bleed.
This is a big deal. So where is your team? Where are the other people that are supporting you? Where's the group behind this? There has to be.
Well, I stumbled into your call. So Alara's part of my team. So I'd consider her, you know, the fact that she sent the message, and I just got this message about the sequestration order. And then I saw this message say, in 15 minutes, there's this call. So I respond when I see this and say, given this, what's happening right now, the universe has sent me help through Alara, you know, to connect to you. And I followed that as a guide. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I just want to see that grow. I want to see you share your story with, you know, maybe through social media. I don't know. There's a lot of people that could circle around you and pray. And, you know, boundaries of light could be put around you. And, you know, remember the part, you're not meant to do this alone. And if you're alone, fear is going to set in because there'll be the bullies along the way that are going to throw rocks. But, you know, I'm going to give you a metaphor that Kryon gave me into the world, and I want you to use it. I want you to think of two rooms that are side by side in the house, and there are no windows in any of the rooms, and there is one doorway that connects them. Can you visualize that?
Yes.
Open the door. One room is filled with light, and one room is filled with darkness. So let's open the one door that connects the two rooms. What happens?
There's no more darkness.
The light flows in every time. And it, you know, the darkness is absorbed. This is a cosmic law. So you want support, you want light, and you need that. I mean, you deserve it. You shouldn't feel that you have to do this alone. It's a very important thing that you're doing. And believe me, the wagons will circle. You know, that's what they say where I'm from in Nebraska, circle the wagons, you know. I think just, you know, you can get my email. You can add me to your email when you're going to do an important, you're going to go to court. You got to have a group praying for you ahead of time. And maybe people go with you to the court situation, okay? You got to blast them with light. Okay, because you can. Is that helpful?
It's been incredible because I have not had the funds and I self-represented in the high court. And the registrar said to me, nobody has gotten as far as I have without a legal team. So I believe I have a non-physical legal team and healing team because I keep, you know, whether it's through Alara or other people, I end up getting the right support at the right time.
Yes.
So today you are the person.
Right. And you wouldn't be doing this if you didn't see it happening in the future. Okay. So keep doing that. Be the visionary. See it done. Yeah. I mean, we want to move past this energy of what we call discernment into just brighter light. And that's happening all over the planet. You know that the old situations where the darkness has been hiding, it's being exposed. All over the world it's being exposed. It can't hide under the rocks anymore. The light is too bright. So bless you, my dear, for the journey. And just want you to bring in more people, more help, without having to spend any money. Are you all on board here?
Mm-hmm.
People that are listening, are you all on board? Okay. Because this is the kind of thing that's important that has to happen in the world. And she needs support. The project needs support. Even if it's just a prayer, we all circle up like 24 hours before you're going to go to court and we all pray and see it done. That'll make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Blaze the violet flame down through that court system. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I have to say, just thank you to every single person, you know, through Alara, through the different teams that have supported me. Because through this, what I first saw as a personal journey, I've now uncovered, like, if you can think of about $35, people's homes are being, like, elder women of color, their homes are being taken for $35 because they don't have the adequate support. And I think, you know, with the support, the healing support, the spiritual stamina, it's helped me to escalate it to a level that I could never do on my own. So I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. So Alara and, you know, all your healers that you bring on, we could not do this. We could honestly not do this level of work if it was not for you connecting us, in almost like a non-physical space as well as the physical. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Right. And, you know, another thing is coming up. I have a friend, and I'm not going to speak for him, but he has a nonprofit organization in Africa. He's very involved, and it's called the Cultural Bridge. And, you know, he raises funds for all kinds of things to help impoverished, Africans. So I'd like to connect you But I would need his permission and your permission. So maybe you can email me and I could forward it on to him and then let nature take its course. Because I'm you know, reluctant to say his name and all that information without asking him, but I feel very confident he would help you.
Excellent. Thank you. Laura, if you connect with me, thanks. Yeah. I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he could help.
Awesome. Yay!
Yay! Good job, huh?
Thank you, Jayshree. I think we've lost her. She's frozen now.
Well, you know, she's hanging in there, though. That's important.
Yeah. Good. Awesome. Thank you. And, you know, and that's the thing. It's like we have to reach out. We can't just keep it to ourselves.
No, we have to. Ask for help. Ask for help. That seems to be the theme of our call today, is to get people to ask for help for your own personal levels of, you know, growth and expansion. Develop the third eye and your heart connection to communicate better, to grow into that which we really are here to do. We need each other, both the physical and the non-physical, as she said so well.
Yeah.
And don't even attempt to do it alone.
I mean, know, like, why? It takes longer. It's harder. It's like, it's not fun if you're trying to do it by yourself.
But each person has an important piece, and you can't even really do it or be appreciated for it if you don't have your team around you to, you know, think of like the jigsaw puzzle. I mean, we have to have organization around even the puzzle coming out of the closet and then the person putting their piece in, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a group effort.
Yeah. Awesome. So, Ekaterina, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. You raised your hand.
Yes.
Where are you? There you are. Hi.
Hi, Lara. Hi, Lori. Actually, Lori, I talked to you about a month ago about my cat, Shantun, who is sneezing, throwing up, clearing things for me and for the environment. Do you remember?
I think so.
Well, basically, he's still doing this a little bit less, but I talked to him, asked him not to do it for me, definitely, but apparently he's still on the mission. And, you know, partially it's because I'm doing it kind of the same, even though I know better. I'm very much connected to animals. I have a lot of animals who just, you know, sometimes fish was playing with me for the whole hour, just swimming. Playing with me, like birds coming to me. So I'm really much, really very much into animals. But lately, the last month, I have several animals dying on me, like literally, like the squirrel crawled into my backyard and just died on me. Then a huge turtle, five birds crashed into the windows just in front of me.
Oh, yeah, I'm remembering you more now. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So well, basically, it's a little bit multifaceted, but about my cat clearing and me providing whatever like passage or what's going on at this moment kind of in my life.
Yeah, well, the words that are coming as I'm just tapping into your energy is it's time for a life review, you know, to really just lay it down. It means writing stuff down, taking a look at, I love this. I want to see this nurtured. I want to see this grow. This is not working. And then toss it out. I don't know. Feels a little bit centered around relationships too. Are there people I don't remember that you're around or with that are negative?
It's still like one of my cats, actually. I'm kind of, I'm doing it on my own, all my life, even though there are people, but kind of, I'm on my lonely mission.
Okay. So, and this is for everyone listening. I mean, now is the time to feng shui your life, you know? Mm-hmm. Simplify, declutter, look at the food and drink you're putting into your body, the amount of exercise you're getting. This is for all of us. And make the changes that are needed. Your animals are reflecting that all back to you. You know that, right? The animals are. Also, the animals are reflecting back to us now that we should get used to the fact that a lot of beings are leaving the planet. And it's not because you did something wrong. It's because it's time. They've completed what they had come here to do, and they're going home as the planet shifts. And we can just get used to that. I think about a year ago, maybe more than that, Puta said you're going to know like three people that pass every month. And then this last year, it's more like 12 people passing that I know every month now.
No, exactly.
Plus the animals. But more people are leaving. They're done. And they're not going to ride the ascension wave. They're going home. They've completed what they came here to do. So, and I've seen that happen with people who are very low in vibration, and I've seen it with people who are very high. My soul sister was passed in November last year, and we all thought she was going to heal. I mean, because we just see so many people heal of breast cancer with the whale healings that we do. So many people. I have so many testimonials. But she didn't heal. and she left that way. And, you know, that was her choice. I mean, she's going on to do things in the higher realms. So that was her choice to leave that way. We don't have to understand it, but we do have to honor it. So is that helpful?
Yeah, and any message for my cat or from my cat, the one who is sneezing?
The one that's what?
Sneezing all the time.
It's sneezing.
Choo-choo. Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. What's Shantun. Her name?
Shantun. It's he. Him. A boy.
A boy. And he's sneezing. When did he start sneezing?
Beginning of May.
So Pooja is saying he has an allergy. Do you have allergies?
Me? Just one. To dust.
What is it?
You ask if I have an allergy?
Yeah.
I have one allergy to dust.
Okay. Well, often the animals will reflect back to us, you know, but sometimes it's their own. Like for about 3 years, maybe four, Pooja had a severe flea allergy. She finally healed it. She doesn't have it anymore, but and she didn't have it when she was born. So allergies can change, as you know. Mm-hmm. So fastest way I know to heal animals is to play whale sounds and ask if there's anything you could do to assist. But ask him if he's having it on his own or if he's doing it for you. Feels like it's pollen, some kind of weed or something.
Okay, well, something to consider.
Yeah, and ask him, you know, if there's anything you can do for him. But you can certainly play whale sounds, which brings in that quantum energy of healing. You know about sound healing, right?
Well, exactly. And just the last comment. Of course, I know about the animal cruelty. It's the biggest issue for me. I really suffer for this. And this is the only negativity I feel like. I would kill these bastards, the one who is doing this cruelty to animals. And I know these people are on their way of evolution. I need to love them. But for me, it's difficult to experience joy when I see all these images which are stuck in my kind of psyche.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult.
Very challenging. It is very challenging to love brothers and sisters that are hurting children and animals. Yes, I'm right there with you. But in order to love them, it's an unconditional love. It's a love that, okay, so just think of one of them and think of what happened to them as a child or as a young person that put them in that vibration. So they're so far from their heart. Were they beaten? You know, were they starved? What happened to that being when they were young?
You know, like I know all of this, but it's difficult for me to be in my own joy when I see like so much cruelty happening around.
I don't know if I can be in joy around them, but the goal is to be neutral, to be non-reactive. That's what I work towards, is to be non-reactive. So that I can love them based on what happened to them and know that the love that I'm sending to them will ultimately help them find their heart again. Because once they're back in their heart, they won't do it. They absolutely won't do it. You cannot harm an animal or a child if you're in your heart. Would you agree?
Exactly.
Okay, so we have to help them find the heart again. So we have to help them find self-love. Remember, we said self-love is the answer. But if we keep telling them they're wrong, it's just making them do it more.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, you know, and sometimes, you know, though it might be difficult, you know, but that's when you have to be in your heart and find that compassion, you know?
Right. Yeah, I've only known one human in my life, thank you. I mean, in my personal life, that has that ability to, I don't know. But when I found out what happened to him as a child, he was locked in a closet and his parents burned him with cigarettes and he was starved and, you know, horrible things happened to him.
Yeah.
In America, okay? And from a wealthy home.
Mm-hmm.
That made him so evil, so dark, you know,
yeah.
That he was so far from his heart. So I pray for him still to this day, but he's not in my life anymore, but he was married to one of my best friends. And, you know, the stuff that came out of that man, we never saw it coming is my point.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Understandable. And, you know, and that's the thing, you don't have to condone it. You know, you can just send them unconditional love and blessings. That's their journey, right?
Yeah.
So we have to honor that too. You know, we don't have to like it, we don't have to condone it, but we do have to
along the way, there has to be some love. So like people contact me all the time about the people that are killing the dolphins in the cove, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are not home. They're like robots. There's nobody home. These are These are people that are killing the dolphins because someone told them that the dolphins are eating their fish.
Mm. Right.
So they think they're protecting their food.
Yeah.
That's where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is also understandable.
But the dolphins are never going to leave them. They're just going to keep coming there and keep coming there and keep coming there until they can change them. And they need our help to do that. And how are they doing that? With love. Eventually that dolphin smile is going to break through. Mm. And they're going to find out there's more going on here.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the day we're looking for, right?
Yeah. I just got dropped off the call just as I was purchasing Lori's package. Oh, you can just get back on again. It's okay. No worries, Jayshree. We're still here. So I was just going to ask you, Lori, you know, we're talking about, you know, conscious creation mastery. Is there any other wisdom from Master Cat Pluto or for yourself, from yourself, you know, around consciously creating, especially for those of us who may be a little bit stuck right now?
Well, I think we have to make time to retrain ourselves every day to go into the heart. And Master Pluto would tell you, you really, if you're having a challenge, you need to be checking in every 15 to 20 minutes. I don't know about you, but I set my cell phone alarm throughout the day so I don't take too long for lunch, or I don't take too long in my meditation before my next client, you know, so I can structure my day. I'm not saying you have to do that, but that's what it takes for me to stay on track, is setting those little alarms. So you might want to get a journal. This is a suggestion, and you're going to, you know, start setting a timer. And let's say from the time of this radio show, we get off here, it's going to be 2 o'clock here. So at 3 o'clock, set your alarm and ask yourself at the end of that hour, where were my thoughts? Mm-hmm. Where's my vibration? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? And track that and say, wow, I was able to stay in my heart the whole time. I got sad about, you know, not having enough money to pay such and such a bill, and then my vibration dropped. So now I'm going to go outside. I'm going to stand on the grass and look at the sun and ask for help to come back in with a new attitude. You know, our own personal evolution is based on how we choose to use our time. And she goes on about the two gifts that we have in on Earth. And the one gift is free will. Mm-hmm. And the other gift is the 24-hour day. So if you monitor your 24-hour day with balance, choosing to check in on your vibration, I mean, really choosing to check in and take a look at you and say, how did I do the last hour?
Right.
How did I do the last 3 hours? That might be what it takes. And keep arcing, keep dropping into the heart. And affirmations, you know, I am that I am. I am love. I am unity. I am harmony. I am divinity embodied. I am God's child. You know, I choose to be love. I choose to make a difference. This all might sound silly to someone that hasn't done it, and it might feel weird to do it. But I'll tell you what, if you do it, it gets easier.
Mm-hmm.
It gets easier to go look in the mirror and say kind words to yourself and mean it, you know, and really, really love yourself. So it's about really asking yourself if you're ready to change by living in your heart. And it's asking yourself if you're ready to activate, to me, the second most important organ in my body is my third eye. Obviously, my heart's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
But when my heart connects to my third eye, I have spirit communication. And I have different relationships with everyone. So I think that's the next step. And that leads you to learning about the light body and getting in contact with your galactic family. And then things really start to change.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. So are you ready to begin to see the true value of self-love and honor the divinity within yourself? That's your question. And whether you do or you don't won't make any difference in how much Alara or I love you, because we're going to love you right where you are. That's just how it goes.
Exactly.
We're going to love you down the road, you know, down the road, you know. But if you're ready to change, you will become a steward for your life and for this planet. And there will be a lot of celebration around that. how you think and speak of yourself and how you care for others.
Yeah.
So, and how we look at these things that would be considered horrific in the world with a lot more neutrality in our heart, you know, with a lot more.
You're right. And, you know, I loved what you said about, you know, those challenging situations or those circumstances, you know, the best you can start with is getting to neutral, you know, not experiencing anything greater than that, but at least get to neutral so that you're not reacting. Because from that space of neutrality, then you could actually make a difference. Then when you send out blessings and unconditional love or whatever, it's going to be better than from reacting. Because when you're reacting, you really can't. You think you are, but if you're still reacting to it, you're really not, right?
Yeah. Well, you're in cause and effect, basically, you know, until you can come to the heart.
Yeah.
And then you can stand in face of a war. You can stand in the face of a riot. People could call you names. And you can smile and you can mean it. You can love them from a different place because you're in a different place. And you have to think of that's how God loves. And we want to be, we want to love like God loves, which is no matter what, we show up, we're there.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree to love someone. That's the important thing. I mean, you don't have to agree. It's okay to disagree with everything, but love yourself for the place that you're in. And it's also okay not to share that with anybody. You know, I don't expect everybody to understand the things that I'm going through or the things I'm learning, but if we can share the ones that we consider are of community value, that makes it more important. And that makes each of us feel more important and more connected. Because the truth is we're all cut from the same cloth. You know, we're all stardust having a human experience. So gotta love that. Thank you, Alara.
I had to mute myself because Neo was like going crazy playing, you know, running back and forth.
he's amped up his stardust.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So, but he's gone in the other room now. But absolutely, you know, and that's what it's about. We all come from stardust. We all come from source. We all come from spirit. And we are all connected, you know, at a higher level or a deeper level, however you want to go. And so for us, though, being in your heart, setting that alarm, I love that. Just checking in. How was I this past hour? How am I now? Where am I now? Am I in my heart? You know, or...
And then you can identify what you want to change. It's not just, well, tomorrow I'll do better. It's right now. Right here, right now. Okay, the next hour I'm going to do better. Next hour I'm going to do better.
Yeah. And then you continue.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I love
do.
It. Thank
and
you.
You do.
So yay, Jayshree was able to do it. She was able to get it, you know, come back in and get the package. Good job, Jayshree.
Okay.
I worry about her internet connection. It's not always the greatest there. So Linda, we're all woo-woo. Linda, who cares? It doesn't matter what people think, right? My family and my friends, they don't even know what I am anymore. They don't know what I do.
Our real family is not our biological family. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Often your biological family, you simply chose the same parents. That you have nothing in common, other than that. You know, that's true in my family. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm the black sheep or the white sheep or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm the unicorn. I'm gonna go with that one now. Thank you so much, Master Cat Puda.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, thank you for your contribution too. He was so quiet for the most part. Yeah, you were so good. You were so good. Yeah. And thank you so much, Lori. This was wonderful. I loved it. You know, it seemed to go by so quickly. And but I love both of those two processes for getting into the heart. And, you know, those four myths and the actual truths, you know, it's like we need to hear those again and again and again. Because
I read those often. Yeah.
We forget, you know, and we get stuck.
Well, we're sort of a victim to what we've been taught. We have to retrain ourselves. It's up to you to go back to school and learn the truth.
Yeah. And all of that is actually within the heart. So it's always about going back to your heart. So if you would like to get more information or work with Lori more, you can check out the package. It's available at alara.at/show/Lori7. I don't think there's any other Lori this month. So I think we're good. Lori7. Thank you. This was so much fun. I love it.
And welcome.
It is about us consciously creating our lives. And we are the masters of our life. You know, so... you know that and start creating consciously instead of unconsciously. Just start choosing, breathing, being in your heart more and more and more, and it'll make a huge difference. So thank you, Lori, for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. Many blessings to all of you.
Thank you, everyone. And until next time, may you continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health. Sending you all much love and blessings always. Mm-hmm. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye-bye.